Here we go officially. It is now January 12th in the evening service. We are looking at, I get going up here with my thing. Where'd the room go? There it is. Arizona. Ooh, that must be nice down in Arizona. We are looking at alliterations of Paul. And I know, like, Mark wasn't there this morning, and Sam, you made it a little later, if I remember right. And the rest of you heard that stuff. And we've done this alliteration thing of Paul before. I'm not sure if we did the right same little categories or whatever. But I noticed as I was looking at them last night, just kind of for something to be reading here, and I realized, boy, there's a lot more than I thought. I did this a number of years ago, or whenever it was I did it, I thought I had found them all. Lo and behold, or tall and fat behold, I have found more. And like I said this morning, I still know I'm not covering them all. Pronunciations, for example. Paul's pronunciations from the letter P is the act of telling before something happens. And I'm going to apply it to Paul, even though it probably has to do with palm reading or some stupid thing like that. But there were a number of things that Paul said were going to happen, and they happened. We looked at the shipwreck series. We looked at Ephesians 4. He tells us somebody who drops away from his King James Bible, from the Word of God, and starts to live like the world, like the other Gentiles. Here's what's going to happen to you. And I give you names of who it's happened to. 2 Thessalonians, the tribulation is coming. God will get his vengeance. And I said, if anybody, I know you can find some other things. You know, he talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's still coming, all that sort of thing. Then we looked at Paul's preservation, the act of keeping safe, act of keeping something from decaying, and that's preservation. And Paul's teachings have been preserved. When Psalm 12, 6, and 7 talks about the word of the Lord, then he's talking about what Paul wrote. And then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Not the word of the Lord. I think it says words. Why can't I remember anything anymore? I think it says words of the Lord. Let's check it out so I make sure I'm doing right here. Psalm, that's Proverbs. Okay. Somebody's going to write and tell me, but maybe not. Here we go. The words of the Lord are pure words. Okay, right. So he's preserved them, and the words of the Lord are what Paul has in his books, and they're preserved. So tonight we are going to look at the purposes of Paul. And like I said, I thought I had them all nailed a couple years ago, whatever, but no, there's a lot more here, and I'm sure you can find some more. So to show me that you're studying, not that it's any of my business, but it's just nice to see people study, you try to find some more pronunciations and find some more purposes, the ones I leave out tonight. And the rest of this is going to be, we're going to look at Paul's prayers, and we're going to look at Paul's personal persecutions, and then the last one will be the price to follow Paul. And I doubt that we will get past the purposes tonight because there's more of them. And I also realize that I could cut my sermons down to 45 minutes or so like I did this morning. It does not take as long to run through the video to get it converted to whatever it has to be converted to. Then it has to be put onto a CD or DVD. Then it's got to be put onto a CDD for the sound. And then I send that off to some people that they send me money. And I send them the DVDs. And if anybody wants to do that, just let me know. Anyway, and that's what takes me so long to do this ministry thing, is to make that video and then convert it, and then convert it again, then convert it again, because for some reason, my computer is acting like it's old like me. It's really it's much slower than it used to be when it comes time to burning these things and converting. It's just really become a putzer. Well, now I got a putzer dog, and I got a putzer person me, and I got a putzer computer. That kind of says it all, you know. Oh, well, quit whining. At least my energy is back. I hope you can tell in the voice. I'm just so much more alert. No, maybe I'm just more loud. I lose my phone. You know, I didn't take the dog out in time today, so she did her thing. That little pearl on the rug was about as big as she was. Where'd she come up with all that? That was horrible. So, here we go. January 12th. It is 6:22. It's almost time to stop. But let's go on. Let's go into, from the pronunciations to the preservation, let's go to Paul's purposes. And if there's anything that we could tell people, anything at all, other than just the King, I shouldn't say just the King James thing, other than the King James Bible itself issue, which you pretty much will end up talking about anyway, because their Bible doesn't say any of this. Oh, and by the way, I got stirred today. I'll do a sermon maybe Wednesday night. Nobody's going to be there because this is a sermon I don't think I want to do. And some folks I know from our family, I don't think they're going to like it. And I don't mean to bash somebody or whatever, but there's a name that I got stirred up with again today. And I did some searching and looking. And I got to expose something. You know, nobody likes to have something exposed that they think is fine in their life or whatever, has been good for them or whatever. And that's all I'm going to say. But it did stir me up. And so I have to talk about it. I thought what would be best would be to do it when not everybody's there. Because it's possible we could lose a couple people over this one, I'm thinking. Maybe not, but depends on how we present it, I suppose. So that will probably be Wednesday night. If everything goes well, I'm here from here on out, unless I'm out of town, or unless I'm sick, or the dog kills me, or I got a basketball game. I'm not driving bus anymore for a while because they don't want me to drive bus because I have a tendency to make the kids sit still. Plus, I was on those painkillers, so I probably will be asked to drive bus again, but not on Sunday nights or Wednesday. I'm telling you, basketball, sports in the schools is at a God worship level. More than it ever has been. I've got kids coming into my first period band. I'm just rambling. Be quiet here. My first period band and choir class, they are zonked. And every day, it is no wonder our kids aren't getting anything. And if I remember correctly, the fall of Rome was because they got into sports and flesh. So it's the same thing for America's education. Let's get back on track here. Acts chapter 9. Are y'all? Did I bore you away? By the way, this is a quack night. Questions and answers. Questions and unexpected answers. With coffee. I got my coffee over here. Which might be why I'm so flipped up anymore. And I'm just not in my kitchen. But Mark played the keyboard tonight. Played the piano. Played some of my piano stuff. So I asked him to go ahead and do that if he would for a little while. And then maybe when I get done to this Paul thing here, we're gonna start talking about music. I'm going to try to make music into a one or two sermon issue. I don't think I've ever done that, but we'll try it. So anyway. Okay, back to the trail. Acts chapter 9, purposes of Paul. This is what people need to realize. They don't even realize the real purpose of Jesus was to come down here and be the Messiah. And then the Jews were going to go out to the whole world, and that was his way of reaching the whole world. They don't know that. They just don't know anything. They just think Jesus came for them. Nobody else but me. And now that I've got him, I've won him over because I did good or I did whatever, baptized or I'm doing well, so I haven't lost him. And I'm following Jesus, you know. That's bogus. So anyway. They don't realize that the risen Savior taught teachings to the Gentiles, because the Jews dumped him, pretty firmly they did, and so he went to Stephen, and Stephen got clobbered, and so he went right to Paul, the worst bunch of the thing. I mean, Stephen was taught the stuff, and Paul met him on the road. And pow, he was blinded. Talk about getting somebody to pay attention. But we will save that for the personal persecution era here. Let's get back to Acts chapter 9. His purposes, though. What's the point of talking about Paul? What's the purpose of Paul? Who is this Paul guy? I was able to show that kid the other night after school in the evening. Look at my Bible. See what pages I study the most. She could look in there and see all my Paul pages are sticking out. And that's the guy. Paul's the man. Jesus Christ is the Savior, but he goes to Paul and tells Paul what to teach the Gentiles. And as a Gentile, I finally was taught this stuff, and I finally paid attention. And now I'm a Church of God member, not the denominational Church of God. And Paul is still here for the Gentiles. And if the Gentiles want to hear it, which we realize from Romans 11:22, they don't want to hear it. and fewer and fewer are going to want to hear it. Yet they're going to these churches that preach the severity of God, and they think they're doing great because God hasn't severely beat them yet, so they think they must be doing right. God is not severely judging them on their music, so they think their music must be right. God doesn't care what they wear, apparently, because God's not hammering them or rebuking them or whatever, so what they wear must be okay. The music, all that stuff, because God doesn't get them. They don't realize that God is not in the getting them business right now. Romans chapter 2. So, I don't understand why preachers preach the gospel stuff, because Jesus, but they skip in the risen Jesus. And then you got these guys that spend most of the time in the Old Testament. Then you get the Pauline guys that are, don't go there. Okay, you'll find out Wednesday night what I think about something. So Acts chapter 9, this is what people need to know. Acts chapter 9, I said that 15 times. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Here we go. Now I know some of you have heard these, but you haven't heard them all. At least not in an organized outline type of a thing. Here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. Well, yeah, Ananias, we know the story. Ananias was not thrilled about that. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Okay, so he was chosen to bear my name, the risen Savior, before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So there's a little oomph for the Jews in there. Still a possibility. Well, where's that at? Down in verse 20. First thing he did was he preached Christ in the synagogue, said he is the Son of God. And you think they wanted to hear that? They still don't want to hear that. Okay, back up to 15. Chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for mine sake, for my name's sake. So there's one of his purposes. He has to go to the Gentiles and bear his name, the risen Savior, not just Jesus, the Lord Christ Jesus, the risen Jesus, the risen Lord, the risen Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. I mean, that's where it's at. And show him how great things he must. Paul has to suffer for his name, for Christ's name's sake. Boy, now is that an exciting missionary calling right there? I wonder what college you got to go to now to get that kind of a calling. You know? Are you kidding? Just about everybody doesn't want to suffer anything, let alone great things. And the only name they bear now is the rock Jesus, the musical Jesus, or the sweet looking Jesus, or the love everybody no matter what Jesus, all that kind of stuff. They're not hearing what they need to hear. Okay. So that was easy. And we talked about that one before. And here we go. Verse 21, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name, which was, you know, Jesus, in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Part of his purpose was to take the risen Savior and tell him, listen, here's what you did, and teach that he's the Son of God. And that just confounded the Jews, as we will see in the persecution chapter. They were never happy with him, majority of those guys. Okay, Acts 22. We've talked about that one before. Acts 22, verse 14. We talked about this one before, too. Hope I got everything turned on here, going here. Verse chapter 22, verse 14. And he said, now here we go. Look at 12. And one Ananias, the devout man according to the law, came unto me and said, so he's telling his testimony here. 14. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, and thou shouldst know his will, okay, and see that, capitalized, just one, so we know who that is, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. So like I said about preservation, what we are hearing when we read that Bible about Paul's books, we are hearing the voice of the risen Savior's mouth through Paul, through a King James Bible, rightly divided, gets us to the stuff that he spoke to me and to you. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Okay? Poor Paul had to see a lot and hear a lot, didn't he? Acts 26, Ananias, Agrippa. Acts 26, verse 16. Paul's given his testimony to the king, and he's telling the king what happened to him. And I said, where art thou, Lord? Verse 15. And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, verse 16, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here we go. Oh, it is good to see Bob Revis there tonight. I'll have to talk to you one of these nights, Bob. Maybe you've got time. But rise and stand upon thy feet. We're in Acts 26:16. We're looking at the alliterations of Paul. We're going beyond the last time we did this. Here's a purpose: to make thee a minister and a witness and a witness. Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. That's where Paul's got to be taken out of the Gentile crowd there so he can preach to them. And unto whom I sent thee. Here we go. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. I always have to say not unto the power of God, but just unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Then in the bottom half of verse 20, he talks about that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. In other words, what Christ has done to us, we are done to us and for us, we should be doing the things as works meet for repentance. We've had our lives changed. We ought to change our lives. We've had ourselves changed. We ought to change our lives. And I was talking to somebody today who really got into a mess, and they need to know that you get back to Paul and you will find God's forgiveness. It's an obvious thing. As a matter of fact, you didn't do that. It was the sin that's in you that did that. Fantastic stuff to get a hold of. Paul has got the greatest teachings, gospel, whatever, that people need to hear, and the pastors are just ignoring it. Even the Pauline guy pastors don't get into this stuff. They just get into the grace thing, that everything's hunky-dory. You know, there's more to it than that. And I was thinking, maybe a part of the reason I'm the way I am is because I got into the Ruckman thing. You know, I haven't got rid of all of it yet. Just want to get this book going and just teach this thing. The best thing to be taught out of this book is Paul's stuff. What about the Gospels? Yeah, there's great stuff in there, but I've done it, and it's on the website, so whatever. Let's get into this stuff. What is more important to us right now than the judgment seat of Christ? Anyway, I'll bring that up on my Wednesday night cheery sermon, which most of you will miss. Probably a good idea. Okay, Acts 26:16-18, we did that in 20. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter. Here you go. Now take these purposes and just sit back yourself sometime and evaluate yourself. We did a sermon series on that too. Evaluate yourselves. Has Paul's purpose been... As Paul's purposes entered into your life, like it says in Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10. Well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, but it's still a purpose. This is still what God would have Paul be or do, and that is verse 9, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And he goes on, he talks about the foundation, talks about the works that we do. And Paul's the wise master builder. So if we look to Paul, we will be building the right bricks on our building. Now, I'm going to say this. This kind of doesn't go along in the sermon here, but it says right here, I have laid the foundation. Now, I'm willing to say, I'm willing to believe it. It's hard to believe that it would be the truth that some of these people that I know to be Christians, as they say, not interested in Paul, not interested in the Pauline books, not interested in the walk, not interested in anything that, but they've got Jesus, they asked Jesus to be their Savior, or they were quote-unquote born again, all that kind of crowd. Those people that we know, or these people that NIV, RSV, AKV, or, you know, and, all those initials, they are not having no other foundation, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, and it has to be laid by Paul. And these people that are claiming to be Christians are not having their foundation laid by Paul. Do you take that to as far as it sounds, like then they really are not receiving the real Savior? Then you got to start asking yourself, well, is this the sword of the Spirit, which the Bible says is the Word of God? Is this the Word of God? Is it NIV the Word of God? No, it's not the Word of God. All these other different Bibles. And the Jesus the pastors teach about is the Jesus of the Gospels. So, Paul didn't lay those teachings. Paul's laying down the risen Jesus. And we'll come across it again tonight, so just hang on to listen for it. That's a bunny trail that is a pretty tough one to go down. But like I've always said, the people that gave me the most trouble when I was a pastor were those that had been saved, quote unquote, with an NIV, ASV, RKV, TVG, whatever. They just never seemed to get over their previous teachings. They never seemed to get over their previous desire for miracles. They never got over the teachings they were taught to be a modern woman, or the power a modern woman can have. They just don't seem to get over that. Because the other half of that statement is, the only people that ever gave me in trouble in church were the women. Men are men. If they don't like what's going on, they just go, whatever, and go beyond it. But women got to have it nailed down. They are very holy, many of them, they think they are, and honorable. No, not holy, devout. Acts 13. So, people know that a lot of women don't like Dr. Ruckman because of what Paul teaches. A lot of these women cannot handle what Paul teaches. They think it's a put down. They think it's a shame to follow Paul. The best you can. You got to remember when I say stuff like that. We know none of us are hitting the strings perfectly. Just not at all. We can't. Husbands, divorces, deaths. Jerks, whatever, you really can't be the woman you want to be now that you got a hold of Paul, unless you are single. And even that's tough because you got to get some money from somewhere. So what are you talking about? I'm just showing these are Paul's purposes. What we do with them is what we do with them. So Paul is saying that he's the wise master builder. That's his purpose, to lay the foundation. And I'll show you as we go here. That is his purpose, to lay the foundation. Let's go to Galatians 1. I'll try to keep on the same subject here. Galatians chapter 1. Did I receive Christ before I got a hold of this Paul stuff? I'm tempted to say to myself, I say to myself, no, I don't believe I did. I just got religion. Then I got my religion solidified and entrenched to be a good person and a critical person, a judgmental person, be a really good, solid Christian in my King James Bible when I became that King James Bible Baptist guy. Then I got to stood the pastor up there and I did the preaching and I just realized something is not right here. This is not what this says in Paul's books. So that's how that came about. Maybe I should do a sermon time about how this whole thing came about and just lay it out there, whatever. So we are now looking at Galatians chapter 1. This is a fantastic verse, 15 and 16. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. There's Paul's purpose. Another one of his purposes is to reveal the risen Savior in Paul. That I might preach him among the heathen, that's the Gentiles, we know that I think by now, I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know, the pastors, preachers, professors, you know, husbands, wives, people that have enough money to support them, all that kind of stuff. He didn't do that. To reveal his son in me, not through me, but in me. Paul's got the risen Savior, and that risen Savior is going to be revealed in Paul. It's a purpose. Marvelous stuff here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 before I forget. Go back to 4 here, 3 and 4, because there's a little bunny trail I want to touch on here a little bit. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not even sure it's 1 Corinthians because I didn't write down the book. It better be because this is really, I don't think it is. Let me check it out here. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I don't think. I did it, I guess. I bet you it's Galatians. I did not write down the book it was from. I was already in Corinthians, though, wasn't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at that one. That wasn't the column I was on. Okay, now what am I looking for here? Hang on. I'm going to find this here. I know the column it's in. You know how that is. You can't remember the reference, but you can point to it in your Bible. Okay, when did this take place? When did... Chapter 1, verse 17. Oh, this is just irritating. Because I wanted to talk about this so badly tonight here. I can't even think of any key words right now. It was when he said he went up into Jerusalem right after this whole thing got going here. You know what? I'm going to come across this as we go through these other ones. I know I will. So we'll get to it eventually. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I know it's chapter 1, verse 17 to 24, but I don't know what book it's in. One more time here. 1 Corinthians 4. No, that's not it. Grumble. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 3. Purpose of Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, there's rightly dividing right there, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, parentheses, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, unparentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto man, unto the sons of men, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And you know that the Jews weren't thrilled with that one. But that was his purpose, to reveal that stuff. And well, he does. We look at Ephesians, let's keep going down to verse 6. I did this, since the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. In 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of the grace of God was given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And to make all men see in verse 9, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Now he's not asking as a question. In verse 8, he says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's his purpose right there. On the unsearchable riches of Christ. No, I'd rather stay with the Gospels and see how much Jesus is going to slap me around because I'm not doing good enough. You guys, they're missing so much. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay. It'll pop up at me as we do this, Mark, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 6. Did we just do that? Yeah, we just did that one. Philippians chapter 4. More purposes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. There's a purpose. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Anyway. The page. There we go. Those things. I don't know how a person, that guy comes in, they just come and they leave. They just don't stay long. Oh, another Paul nut. Oh, well. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Well, what's the purpose of Paul doing those things? So the God of peace shall be with you. So if we could, we know there's persecution coming up. Paul knew there were persecutions coming up. We know we're going to have some tough times. We already know we've already had tough times. But through that whole thing, we've got the God of peace with us, because we're looking to Paul. We're trying to learn those things that Paul has learned, received, and heard, and seen, and done. That's just, remember, Acts chapter 9 said that. Show the things that he has, you know, that he has to suffer. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. That ties in with this thing in Philippians right there, because it says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So if we follow Christ, not imitate like the modern Bible say, but if we follow Christ, then we follow Paul, follow Paul, as he follows Christ, then we'll have the God of peace with us. And again, that goes back to that verse. I can't think of it. Oh, Paul lays the foundation. I really think that unless a person's gotten a hold of Paul's books and looked to Christ through Paul, maybe the rest of the crowd doesn't really have him. Well, that's kind of crazy. No, not really, because who's coming back? Who's coming down? It's called the Antichrist. It's not the Anti-Muhammad, Anti-Buhama, who's that guy? Anti-Bama, Burma, Anti-Bahuda, Buddha. No, he's an Antichrist. He's going to be talking like Christ, but what are they don't know what Christ talked about. They talked about the Gospels. He's going to come down on a white horse. Christ's going to come on a white horse. He's coming down to conquer. Christ is not coming back to conquer, but they will attack him. He will conquer, but that's not why he's coming down. So do these people really maybe have the foundation of the real Christ laid before them? I don't know if they have it or not. I tend to think no. Well, why would you be so critical? Because they don't get any of this stuff. Okay. As you have the yawns tonight, not good. Okay, Galatians 1, we did that one. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Here's something else that is a purpose of Paul. For this cause, verse 17, what's the cause? To follow, be followers of me, Paul says in verse 16. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you that into remembrance of my ways, not my doctrine, not my teaching, but my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So, that's why Paul is here. To live the life he did, so we can follow that. Chapter 1, verse 17. No, maybe 2:17? 5:17? 3:17? Nope. Let's go on to Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 47. That's Romans. No, it's not going to go all the way. Okay, let's go to Acts 14. Some of you are probably already there. 14. I don't think there's going to be one there. Verse 47. Where in the world am I getting that from? Acts 14, verse 47. How about, oh boy, you know, the three J sisters there. Anyway, I know it's a 4 because, well, maybe it's Acts 15. Let's check it out here. Acts 15. Where do we find a 47 in these little chapters right here? It's got to be Acts 13, verse 47. Let's check it out here. Purpose. Yes, here we go. Better fix that here. Acts 13. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul's purpose, go to the Gentiles. I'm going to still see if I can't find that one. Because there was something I had heard in my first years of being a real Christian as such here. It was when he said that he didn't go to Jerusalem. What if that isn't? Oh, I don't know. Go on, you guys, help me out here. Whatever book it is chapter 1, verse 17 to 24. And he talks about where he didn't go. I know I can look up. I can look up flesh and blood, because that's one of the verses in there, one of the phrases. Okay, I'm coming, folks. Hang on here. Text search all the books. We'll just say time here. Flesh and blood. There won't be many of those. Chapter 1, let's find chapter 1, and there's no, I totally botched that thing. Anyway, it's at a place where he says he did not go to Jerusalem. And I was taught for years that that's where Paul messed up, because he didn't go to Jerusalem, he was supposed to. Talks about the fact he didn't see the apostles, he went on the time by himself, and he saw a couple of them, and all the preachers ever heard talk about that said that Paul had made a mistake. And I always wondered about that as a person. Why could Paul make a mistake? He's supposed to go to Jerusalem. Why didn't he go to Jerusalem? Okay. I'm looking for it here because I brought it up. I got to finish through. Chapter 1, verse 17 to 24. Somewhere, verses 17 to 24. We've got some great stuff in it. And the pastors out there make it look like that's why we don't follow Paul, because Paul messed up. He was supposed to go to the apostles. And see, he didn't. Anybody type anything yet here? Can't see. Let's see here. Galatians 1:16. We were just right there, you know. Maybe that is it. Yes, who did that, Mark? Mr. Speedy here, verses 1 through 16. No, I mean, that would go right with it if we were to talk about that. Okay, whatever. So, Wednesday night. I will probably save the rest of these alliterations with Paul until next Sunday. There is a slight chance I'd be going to South Dakota Sunday, but, you know, I can still do it from there, actually. So I'll bring my laptop with me so I could actually do their sermon from there, which would be unique, to say the least, doing it from my brother's house, who is a staunch Lutheran and is an interim pastor in some of the small-town churches because they can't find a pastor, so he's bopping around these little bitty country churches, which I think would be fun, but not to preach Lutheranism. But anyway, Wednesday night I will talk about a statement of faith that someone has that exposes him more than most people in the Paul world want to have exposed. And I know people could go through my teachings; they could probably find something back in 2009 or 2010 where I was wrong, you know. Will I admit anything wrong? I could say a lot of things wrong lots of times. But as far as the scriptural goes, no, I don't think that we can be wrong. We have to be right. We can't just use it, I was wrong on that one. Now, I've grown since then, and there are some things I took out of the website back before 2003, I think it was, because that was just when we started Paul. And yes, I had thrown some other things in there that I didn't know any better. But I better be preaching the truth now. I may not preach it. I mean, not the style of preaching or teaching, my tiredness. I mean, nobody's perfect, but as far as the doctrine goes, it better be right to me. That's what I'm thinking. And God will show me when I'm not. That's what it says. But this person or this situation, go through the statement of faith, people will find out he's not who they think he is. And I know I'm saving a sermon. I'm doing a sermon now. Paul says, hey, at least he's talking about the risen. Yeah, I know, and that I'm glad about that. But it's starting to bother his name. This guy's name keeps popping up. And you know what? I'm going to look up his website and see what he says. And I found some stuff. I was like, I knew it. So, do you get my... We have a statement. I don't know if we have it up there anymore. Do I mark it's in there? It's what we believe. I think I took that out when I took... I might have it in the Internet Church column, though. Might be in there. So I don't know. So Wednesday will be interesting if I'm here and if you're here. And so next time you listen in, the Wednesday night sermon itself will at least be okay. It charges me up. I got to dig into this one. It's time to do something that some people won't like to hear. So that's it. I'm rambling. Good night, Bob. Good night, Sam. Bob, give me a call sometime. Except I'm at school. You can't call me now. Same thing with Sam. Gary, North Carolina. Julie, it's good to see you there tonight. There we are. Yeah. Mark, you're so quick. And Julie, and talk to hi to your sisters for them. I will email. Which one has the internet? I think it was Jan that wrote me on the email. Is that the one that's got the internet? Yeah. Okay. So I'll drop her a note. She sent a real long testimony. Very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, okay. So my clue, Julie, will be it came from Jan's letter. There's a clue. See if you can figure it out. Okay, everybody. We'll see you Wednesday night or Sunday morning or up in the air or whatever. Mark, now's the time to play the Lawrence Welk good night. Dun, 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 dun. And Julie coming from South Dakota. I got the dog in here. Julie coming from South Dakota. You probably are very familiar with Lawrence Welk. Not old enough, but anyway. So if you'd be quiet. Good night, folks. Yes, you are. Yeah, we live just north of Lawrence Welk's ranch, his farm. You know, we know all about him out here. Boy, these are some tough Germans out here. Tough people I've ever talked with. Okay, I'll let you go. Good night.